Tonight, I'm speaking on the importance of children. Now, this is not an academic subject. It is a biblical one, because it is a doctrine that is very clear in Scripture. In Psalm 45, if you will turn there, this is one of the great messianic psalms in the Old Testament. The portrait of the Lord Jesus is one of triumphant majesty, as he is portrayed as the great king, who is also the royal bridegroom. And so, dropping down in that psalm to verse 16, the psalmist concludes his sequence of teaching by saying, "Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever." Now in that psalm, the first part of the psalm is the voice of the bridegroom. And in the latter part, it is addressed to the bride that is there. But in verses 16 and 17, the pronouns go back to masculine, and it refers to the king. And this is a messianic reference to the great king who will make his children princes in all the earth. Now, that thought is a very important thought for us, because the intention of the Lord Jesus is to make his people the rulers in the age to come. Here, we are servants. Here we are in humble positions in this world, but in the world to come, he intends very important positions for his people. But now, looking at this from the standpoint of children, "Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children," it is the purpose of every Christian family to shape the children in it, that they may be able to take their place in the next generation. And assuredly, God's purpose for our children is that they have a distinct place of service in the coming generation. And so we must all pay attention to our children as the potential leaders in the next generation. Notice, make them princes, rulers in the next generation. Now, this is something that is a sacred trust for every family, thinking of the children not as being immature as they are now, but as being mature, capable, in a position where God can use them in the next generation. That certainly is the purpose for every Christian family, that the children should be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that when the time comes, the Lord may use them, as he has planned all along, in the next generation to be a blessing to that generation, even as hopefully his people are in the present generation. Now that idea is one that should be a controlling factor in Christian families. Sometimes parents lose sight of this, and they begin to think in short-term affairs of the struggles of raising children and the difficulties in family relationships. None of that should influence our lives, because God's purpose always is that the children be so trained, so brought up in the nurture and admonition of himself, that they will be appropriate leaders in the next generation. And we must not lose sight of that in our own families. Now, it is significant in John 17:18 that the Lord prayed in that great high priestly prayer, "As the Father hath sent me, so have I sent them into the world." Now, that is an astonishing thought. As the Father sent his Son into the world to accomplish his purpose, so he sends his people into the world to accomplish his purpose. And that means he has sent you. He has put you in a specific place where you can serve him. Never lose sight of that. The Lord intends blessing through you in this generation because he has put you where you find yourself. And that is an opportunity, not merely a responsibility. It is something that we can do for the Lord, to let our light shine for Him. Now, we have no control over those circumstances. Sometimes we feel rather helpless in the situation. But we should not, because the Lord is in control. He knows the situation. He has put you there because He has a distinct purpose for you in that exact spot where you find yourself. And consequently, our Lord is going to use you and me, all of His children, to accomplish His purpose in this generation, to train His children for the next, so that when they come to maturity and face their problems and situations, they will be in the place that He intends to serve for this next generation. God's purpose is never short-sighted. God's purpose always looks beyond the present situation to what shall be in the future. He is planning the future. He is placing His children in the exact places they should be. And sometimes that's a puzzling thing for us. We don't understand circumstances. We can't see into the future. But He can. And He knows precisely what He is doing. So we should never be discouraged by circumstances, or think that perhaps somehow we can't accomplish His purpose. He can. Because that depends on Him, not on us. We can't bring to pass what we think is God's will. We can't order things according to His purpose. He can. And so we must always live in the sense that we may not understand everything that is going on, but He certainly does. And all of it fits into His equation. Sometimes we worry about our children, about circumstances, about the wicked world that awaits. He is not worried. He knows precisely what is going on. He is fully able to accomplish His purpose. And we must trust Him for this, that He will bring about His purpose in the lives of our family and our children, that He will work, order all things according to His perfect will, and bring about blessing that only He can envision and accomplish. Now, in all of this, every one of us has a place for the future. We are serving now the best we can, and we are trusting that our service will be useful to the Lord's eternal purpose. But He knows precisely what is going on and exactly what He intends to bring forth. And we must trust Him for that. We can't see what the future holds, but He can. And He can arrange it for the benefit and blessing of His people. In Psalm 78, verses 5 to 7, Asaph speaks to God's people, and he says in verse 5, "For He, God, established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that in the generation to come they might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." Now, this is an interesting idea that he sets forth here. God is planning all these things generation by generation. And when the word was given in the preceding generations, as Asaph refers to them, that these commands should be passed on to the children, made known to the children, that in the generation to come, that generation might understand God's purpose. Now, many times when we instruct children in what should be done and how they should live and so on, we don't see the exact reason for some of that. Oh, we know in general, but we don't know the specific details about the generation to come. But what should be a comfort to us and an assurance is that God certainly does know precisely what the future holds. And he knows exactly what problems the children will face. Now, we can't imagine them, but he knows with perfect omniscience what they are going to face. And so when we instruct children in the right way and tell them this is the path, you should walk this pathway, we don't understand the difficulties they will face, the circumstances that they will have, but the Lord knows. And the Lord is fully able to impart to those children, whoever they are, precisely what they need in view of coming circumstances. Now, we have to trust Him for that. We take the Word and we teach our children, this is what it says, and here are the principles that you should live by. But only the Lord knows how that's going to work out. We're trusting that it may be right and proper because this is what Scripture says, and we're trying to be obedient to it. But the Lord knows precisely what is going to happen. And many times we instruct children, sometimes inadequately, but we instruct them concerning situations that we have no understanding of. We can't foresee the future, but God can. And His Word is so designed that the principles that are in Scripture are timeless. They apply to many different situations and many different circumstances. And we have to realize that and realize that God is using us to prepare our children for situations that neither we nor they now understand. But God understands them. And when the time comes, the children will remember what we said and will remember the Word and will realize how powerful that Word is in the face of what they are then looking at. And we have to realize that that is going on in our instruction of children and in our family discipline and such, that all these things He will work out according to His perfect will in the future, because He knows it perfectly, and we don't. In verse 7, we instruct them that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. People tend to trust in themselves. They trust in their own natural predilections for the future. Sometimes they trust in money or possessions. And all these things are dreadful things to trust in because they can easily take wings and fly away. But God is able to see precisely what people should be doing in the next generation. He knows precisely the circumstances that every one of us will face. And we have no idea, really. But when we train our children according to His Word and encourage them in the power of this book, the time will come when they will have need of that instruction. The time will come when they will face circumstances that recall to their minds what you are teaching them and what God's Word says, and they will realize what a powerful influence this book can be. Many times we have children learn verses of Scripture, and we hope that they will think of those verses later on. Many times as a family, we repeat verses of Scripture together and encourage the whole family by those verses. But we don't understand always how those verses are going to work in the future. But God knows precisely how. And many times in our own lives, we can think back to passages of Scripture that we learned as children or at least very young. And all of a sudden, those verses mean something very special because we're facing a circumstance that we could not have foreseen. But in those circumstances stands the will of God expressed by those verses. And sometimes we're startled to think of how close that approximation is, that we can draw upon those exact verses for the very situation that we face. We could not have foreseen it. God's Word is a supernatural thing. It is a powerful thing that can control our lives, direct our path, and provide help in time of need. And many times we can't possibly imagine that ahead of time. But in the circumstances that arise, we can see so vividly how God's Word fits those exact circumstances. That is why we pass on the truth to our children. That is why we encourage them to memorize Scripture. Not that we can foresee what's going to happen, but that we know God does foresee them, and His Word does fit circumstances, and that He can use it to accomplish His purpose in the next generation. In Psalm 103, in verse 17, David says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." Yes, God's throne is in the heavens. Yes, He is the Lord of the universe, and consequently He knows precisely what He is doing. But for us, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy doesn't end with us. It goes on to our children, to the next generation. God intends mercy upon them and those who survive to the next generation. And we must recognize this and live in the light of that assurance. And we note in verse 18 the importance of remembering the commandments to do them. That is why we memorize Scripture. That is why we meditate upon the Scripture, so that when the time comes, we will remember that the Word says thus and so, and we will see how it applies to the situation that we could not foresee. It's very important for us to teach our children in hope of the future, in recognition that God does understand the future and is planning the future even now, and that so our children and the whole next generation will be living in a world providentially controlled by the Lord. And those verses are going to be just as powerful then as they are now. And their ability to change lives and mold character will still be there. And as our children remember those verses, their influence will be powerful in their lives. Now, it's a blessing in verse 10 of that same psalm that He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God does not deal with us in rigor. He deals with us in kindness. He is sympathetic to our frailty and our failure many times to accomplish things. We all fail, and none of us are universally successful. And we are concerned to see sometimes our children fail. We worry about that. We shouldn't worry, because we've all failed, and God has taken care of us anyway. God directs our steps anyway. And so when we think of the future, we must recognize that God has not dealt rigorously with us. He has dealt with great compassion and kindness to us. And so we should remember that He's going to deal with our children that way too, with kindness and compassion. And we should recognize that our training of children is not a hopeless task. It is a very valuable and important task that God will use in the lives of the next generation. But this psalm is a very special one, because it shows us in the concluding verses how all of our efforts lead to blessing. He says in verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." God's purposes are absolutely universal. They extend not just to the next generation, but to all eternity. He organizes the angels to accomplish His purpose. And so, yes, in our lives, His blessing rests upon them. In the lives of our children, we should be sure that His blessing rests upon them. And that blessing is a powerful thing that can change and mold and shape character, even as it has our own, and shall, by the grace of God, our children in the future. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, Solomon says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it is right." Now this verse tells us plainly that children can have a testimony for God. They don't have the opportunities that we as adults have, but they too can serve God in their own way. And that testimony is very important. Even a child is known by his doings. There are children who operate according to principle. There are children who understand what God's Word says and who try to conform their lives to it. And we can recognize that in the conduct of children. That's a blessing. To see a child that is honest, to see a child that is upright in his way, that's a challenge to adults. Now, that's a blessing to all. And so, a child is known by his doings. Now, to me, that is extremely significant because in the context here, in verse 10, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike, an abomination to the Lord. Oh, now that's an obscure verse in our present society. But in the days of Solomon, that was extremely transparent. All business transactions were done by weights and measures. Every businessman had his scale and a whole set of weights. Everyone who sold goods had measures. Now, a person who was crooked had two sets. He had a set that was a small weight when he had to pay. He had a set that was a large set when he got it from others. So he was winning on every business deal. And the Lord says, this is an abomination. Children watch the practices of their parents. They know when the parents are crooked in their business dealings. That has an effect on the children. That molds the children the wrong way. And a child is quick to pick up on this and to start using the same methods he sees his parents using. But here, a child is known by his doings. When he is honest and upright, he is reflecting what he has learned in his family. And that's a very important testimony for the child. So even children, they don't have the opportunities that we as adults do, but they can have a very strong testimony when they act in a responsible way, honestly and uprightly, and it's the way the family operates. That's a great testimony. Now, friends, we should recognize this, that the training of our children begins in the home with our own practices. What we are doing and how we are living is automatically being passed along to those children. And they reflect what is going on in the family. So, our instruction is not in vain. Our example is by no means to be ignored. The example in the family is very powerful. The instruction that is there is oftentimes very important, even though at the present time it may not look like the children are listening. But they are. They understand what's going on. And it's important for us not to be discouraged by temporary setbacks, but to recognize that the Lord is using His Word, that His Word is in operation in the lives of our children as well as in our lives, and we should never think that it is a waste of time to live the right way all the time in the home as well as out of it and instruct children in the way they should go in the home as well as what they're doing out of it, because all of that God uses to mold lives and character and to make the next generation what it should be. Solomon understood. In chapter 22, verse 6, Solomon says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Sometimes children depart from it when they're young, but when they're old, they'll have reason to remember what was instructed years ago. And that has a powerful influence for a long time to come. Now, that word "train up" is a very important word. It does not refer to harsh discipline, the rod and all the rest. No, it's a vocabulary word that literally means to rub the gums of the child with food. In other words, to create a taste for the right kind of food. Now, that's a striking image that Solomon uses here. You train a child by putting in their mouth the good taste of food so that they will develop that taste and be hungry for what is good to eat. In other words, you're trying to make righteousness attractive. This is not concerning just food. You're trying to make the right things attractive to children so that they will understand the taste and get a hunger for what is right and good, and in later years have the right kind of diet in a spiritual sense. Yes, this illustration comes from normal family life of getting a child to eat the right foods. But the spiritual lesson is a very profound one that is here. We should be constantly attracting our children to the right things, the right pathway, getting them to relish the taste of what is good. That's why it's so important to pray in the family, to read God's Word in the family. It's very important that children understand this and gain the taste for these things, so that when the time comes, they will be encouraging their children the same way. In Matthew chapter 19, dropping down to verse 13, it says, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer, permit little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, the people brought little children, and that's a diminutive, to the Lord Jesus, that he should bless them. He was regarded as a very important religious teacher. Many of those people undoubtedly understood that he was the Messiah. And here they bring their children that he might bless them. They wanted that spiritual blessing on their children as well as upon themselves. Now, the disciples are looking practically at all this. The Lord Jesus was an important personage. He was the Messiah in their way of thinking. Why should they clutter up his time and such with children? Well, he was very indignant that they were seeking to prevent that, because that was his agenda. He was in this world not just to talk to adults, but to influence children as well. And when the people brought their children, they were doing the right thing, bringing them to the Lord, asking for his blessing. This was his will, the divine will. And so when the disciples said, "Don't bother the master, he's busy, you know." No, he was not busy. That was his program. Now, that is a lesson to the end of time, that all of our abilities directed toward being a blessing toward children, helping them in their spiritual growth, this is the divine will. This is not a waste of time. This is definitely his purpose. And so that object lesson that he gives in that context is a very important one for all of us to understand clearly. Blessing upon children is not a waste of time. It is what God has put you in this world for. To be a blessing to children is one of the great opportunities of our church. That's why we have a vacation Bible school. That is not just a week of entertainment. That is a very spiritual purpose in our lives. And that is why we as a congregation should do all we possibly can to make that week an attractive week for children. It is like rubbing the food on the mouth that they may learn the taste of what is right, learn the taste of obedience to Scripture. This is the most wonderful thing we could do for them. And so, yes, anything we can do to make that week attractive. The theme of Western life, now, that is not a waste of time. That's something children are interested in. It is something that makes truth attractive. This is very important for us to recognize this, get behind it, and by our prayers as well as our support, cause this to be a triumphant week of blessing for the children. Not just entertainment. We trust it will be very entertaining. But it will be a matter of spiritual growth, spiritual progress in the lives of our young people. What a precious privilege that we have to be a part of that blessed program of God. Now, friends, we must recognize that all our children are immature. All our children need help. And that's what a church is for. A church is not an assembly of the perfect. It's a hospital for the sick. You've got to realize that every person sitting in this room has problems and difficulties. Every person here has needs. Every person here needs spiritual growth. Now, this is not a place where everybody comes to preen themselves like peacocks and demonstrate how great they are. They are here because they're sick and need help. That's why we are here. And we must all recognize that is God's program. The help is here. It's in the Word. It's the Scripture that can cure us. It's the Scripture that can make us whole. The Scripture that can give us that wholesome health that we need in our spiritual lives. Friends, when we come to church, we don't come here just to demonstrate how righteous we are. We come because we have spiritual needs that must be met. And God's holy Word is the great solution. God's Word is that which gives us the strength that we need, imparts to us the encouragement that we need, and gives us the perception and guidance that we need. And that's why we come. We come because we are needy souls. And God's Word provides that help and gives that strength and encourages us along the pathway. And God intends us to drink deep at the wells, the springs of eternal life in His Word. And that is why our whole program here is a Word-centered ministry. It is the preaching of the Word that does it. It's not gimmicks. It's not certain things that we're trying to do to be worldly. And no, we've turned our back on all that. We are here because this is the Bible. And we are a Bible church. And we draw from this book all that we need for the Christian life, for our testimony, for the lives of our families and children. It all comes from this blessed book. This is the fountain of strength and nourishment for every believer. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's great sermon on the day of Pentecost, one of the grand presentations of the gospel message. When he comes to the conclusion, verse 39, he says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The promises of God are here, not merely for us, but for our children. That is one of the most encouraging verses in the whole New Testament. We should recognize that God's Word is equipped to change our lives and the lives of our children and to be a blessing to us and to the next generation as well. And as Peter has preached the gospel, repent, change. All right, friends, that is what we should be doing, changing for the better. None of us is perfect. None of us can afford to sit back and say, "Well, I have arrived." You have not arrived. None of us have arrived. We need to change for the better, to improve what we are doing. And so we encourage our children to change for the better, to improve what they are doing. That is what we should all be doing. Changing for the better. Improving our testimony. Improving our knowledge of God's Word. Improving our prayer life. Being better intercessors for Him. This is what we should be doing. And this is what Peter was preaching, as well as the gospel of salvation. The gift of the Holy Spirit belongs on every believer, on our children, as well as us. We can't arrange that. That's God's gift. But all the presence of the Spirit of God in the life to encourage and guide and strengthen, this is what we should be praying for our children as well as for ourselves. That God's Spirit would lead us properly, lead our children properly, lead our church properly, and all the people who come in it. That God's will may be done in our lives, that the Spirit of God may mold us and change us for the better, make us what we should be for Him, and that our efforts to reach children may be blessed of God, that He may accomplish His purpose, not just in our lives, but in the generation to come as well. Trinity Bible Church, hopefully, should be a church with an outreach into the future. We are sowing seeds that are going to sprout in the next generation. We're sowing the Word. And what it's going to accomplish, we can't see. But we do it in faith, trusting that God will bless our efforts. And the seed will sprout up and will bear fruit. And there will be a triumphant harvest in the next generation as well as in this one. My friends, let us pray to that end, that God may reap a harvest through our efforts, both now and in the years to come, to the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege that we have as Christian parents to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How we thank Thee that at Trinity we sow the seed of the Word and we ask Thy blessing upon that seed. May it bring forth a harvest in our lives and in the lives of our children. Help us, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing, but to be determined, continuing to use the Word, continuing to digest and absorb it for ourselves, and to encourage the next generation the same way. We ask Thy blessing upon Thy Word. May it mold us and make us what we should be. May it be a powerful influence in the lives of our children and the young people of this congregation. We pray that Thy Word will triumph in our hearts and lives and bring forth a harvest of blessing in the next generation as well. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.